From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's all unite our hearts together in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for the privilege it is to come into the very presence of God Himself. We praise Thee, Lord, for that blessed invitation in Thy Word to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, as we come to worship Thee, we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt grant us clean hands and a pure heart. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt take us to the cross. We thank Thee, Lord, for that place where the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died. We praise Thee for the love of God in Christ, coming into this world, living a sinless life for us, and giving that life in the cross at Calvary to purchase for us a wonderful, a full, and a free salvation. And Lord, as we sing of that salvation, and Lord, as we hear it preached tonight, we pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst draw near. And we pray, Lord, that each one who would hear Thy word tonight, we pray, Lord, that that word may be as that arrow in a sure place. And Lord, as they hear Thy word, we pray, Lord, that their hearts will be touched, men and women and young people drawn unto Thyself. Be with us now, we pray. Close us in with Thyself. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. We're turning for a scripture reading to Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33 and commencing our reading at verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste. The wayfaring man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regardeth no man. The earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. Ye shall conceive chaff. Ye shall bring forth stubble. Your bread as fire shall devour you. And the people shall be as the burnings of lime. As thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear ye that are afar off, what have I done? And ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearlessness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Amen. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his truth. We're going to sing a lovely gospel hymn of invitation. Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear.
Thank you. I'd like to say that it's a great pleasure and privilege to be here tonight to bring the Word of God at this particular time. And before we come to the particular verse that I want us to study together, I'd like if we would join together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, again, we come to Thee. We thank You for the privilege of access into Thy presence through the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for Thy precious Word, quick and powerful it is, and sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray that it will run very swiftly among us, that the Word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified, and the Lord Jesus Christ would be magnified in the preaching of His Word tonight. And for this, we pray that Thou will grant the power of Thy Holy Spirit. In His name we pray. Amen. The words to which I want to direct your attention for your serious consideration are found in Isaiah chapter 33 and the 14th verse. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? This is a most solemn and startling statement by all accounts. It was occasioned by a fearful crisis that was unfolding. An invasion of the country of Judah was underway. The Assyrian war machine was in action, and Judah and Jerusalem were in the process of being invaded. This news was having a profound effect upon the people and upon certain among them in particular. And could I just say that sometimes the Lord brings about circumstances that causes us great dread, great fear, and affrights us in order that He would get our attention, or that we would listen to what He would have to say to us. It's a terrible situation to have to be brought to. But if we will not hearken to the Word of God when He's dealing with us in our ordinary everyday living, He has ways and means of getting us to stop and think. We want to take a close look then at these people who are impacted by the Word of God. And there are some matters that I want us both to look at here tonight. First of all, there is the description they bore. We have that in the text, and there are three details about them. First of all, they are called sinners. Now, the word is often found in Scripture to identify people. Sinner is a name given to someone who sins, and that's ourselves. We find in the Shorter Catechism, in question and answer 14, the question is asked, what is sin? And the answer is given, sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Now, this definition includes what we omit to do that we should do, and what we commit that we should not be committing or doing. And the great problem is that this is habitual with us. It's not a one-off, and then we can live righteously and never sin again. The sad thing is that we sin every day. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 13 and verse 23, the prophet asks, can the Ethiopian change his skin? And then the answer is, so could you if you weren't accustomed to evil, accustomed to do evil. Sin is something that must be accounted for by us all. And that account has to be rendered to the holy, righteous God. This account is to be rendered to God personally and individually. Every single hearer of what I'm saying here today to you, we all, preacher included, have to give an account to God. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, we read these words, so then, every one of us shall give an account of ourselves to God. God is the great judge. He will judge us for our sins. That account has to be rendered to Him. whether by ourselves as individuals or in the person of a substitute. Now, you and I cannot pay that account ourselves and survive. There is nothing for us but a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. And the only way that sin can be accounted for is, and that we survive it, is in the person of a substitute. And that substitute is none other than God the Son himself. And throughout the Word of God, we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There is no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And tonight, my dear friend, if you and I will have Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son, as our personal Savior, then our accountability is taken care of because we are in Christ. And that's a tremendous thing that we need to experience as sinners, as being in Christ. But notice something else, what we are told about them here. They're called hypocrites. Now, hypocrites are people who pretend to be what they are not. And the sad thing is, they're found among religious people. I suppose mostly among the religious, because they're professing to be something which in actual fact they're not, if they're living contrary to the Word of God and even depending on some other means of salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving work. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said about them in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 to 9. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah's prophecy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me. And in chapter 7, verse 15, he describes them as wolves in sheep's clothing. These sinners, these hypocrites, these sinners are said to be in Zion. Now, in the Word of God, we are told that Zion was one of the mountains upon which the city of Jerusalem was built, often called the City of David, and intimately associated with the Lord and his glorious name. Sometimes Zion is used as an illustration of the church. And that being so, these people were in Zion, where the temple was, where God's name was, and yet they're described as hypocrites. And maybe we could be joined to some church somewhere. We could have our name in some role and yet never have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. My dear friend, that's hypocrisy. Found in the house of God, found under the sound of the Word of God, perhaps, and yet be a sinner and a hypocrite located in Zion. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said about the religious leaders of his day who were rejecting him. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Religious people he was talking about. Is it any wonder then in this particular chapter in Isaiah and in this particular verse we're considering together that hypocrites are found here, that the sinners and the hypocrites are located in Zion and they carry this description. But notice secondly, the distress they experienced. Now, you can notice from the text again, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. These people were cowardly. But my dear friend, again, nothing wrong with that. It's a pity that people who have committed such terrible sin throughout their days and throughout the world would not have been afraid of the consequences and some of the terrible crimes that have been committed. If they had been afraid, it could have been a restraining influence on them. We read about Noah in his day in Hebrews 11 and 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ instructs the right experience of faith, gives instruction regarding the right experience of fear when he says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." How solemn and how startling, my dear friend. And tonight, we read in God's Word that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and also that the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. As fear gripped your heart, may it be that you're realizing, for all your religion, you have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you're dreading the consequences. Turn from your sin. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you won't have to fear any terrible consequences for sin, because the Lord Jesus has paid for our sins when he died on the cross at Calvary. But there's a third thing that I want you to notice here. We have looked together at the description that these people bore, and we have seen the distress that they experienced. I want you to notice, finally, the doom that they feared. Notice what we are told in that 14th verse again. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? The devouring fire, everlasting burnings. Is it any wonder that these people were feeling so wretched? Very quickly, let me say to you, there are two things about this doom. There's the manifestation of it. The Bible tells us that God very often reveals himself and his character by fire. For instance, Deuteronomy 4, verse 24, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire." Hebrews 12 and 29, "For our God is a consuming fire." Numbers 11, verse 1, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them, that they were in the uttermost part of the camp." And elsewhere in that very same book of Numbers, we read these words, chapter 16 and verse 35. "There came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense." And we learn elsewhere in the Word of God, whenever soldiers come out to apprehend the prophet Elisha, that on two occasions, fire came down from heaven and consumed 50 of them. On each occasion, God revealing himself and his character by the fire. The Lord Jesus had this to say, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Oh, my dear friend, there needs to be a fear of God. There needs to be a fear of what comes after death if we die outside of Christ. The manifestation of this terrible doom they feared. And finally, the duration of it. It's called everlasting burnings. We are told in the book of Jude, verse 7, about the judgment that fell on Sodom and Gomorrah, that they experienced eternal fire. And the Lord Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Mark about the fire never being quenched. This is terrible, friend. So tonight, you would be well served if you would have this fear of the terrible doom that's going to break out one day upon the unrepentant sinner. But I want to tell you in closing that there's a glorious prospect that if you would turn from sin, the Bible calls that repentance. Repentance is to leave the sins I loved before, and to show that I in earnest grieve by doing so no more. If you were to turn from your sin, repent, and at the same time put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your sins would be forgiven, the hypocrisy would be pardoned, and you'd be a new creature in Christ. Your soul would be saved. It would be well with your soul. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You'll only trust Him as your Savior, and then you'll be able to say, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And the Word of God has this to say, quite emphatically, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May God grant that you would trust Christ this very hour and experience this glorious deliverance through Christ, His finished work, His precious blood that He shed for sinners on the cross at Calvary. May God grant that you will. Let's bow together in prayer. O God, we pray that Thou would be pleased to bring Thy fear into the life of the unregenerate sinner. And we pray that they will see that the Lord Jesus Christ has borne their sins in His own body on the tree, that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, and may from the depths of their being this very hour trust Christ as their personal Savior and live for Him. These things we ask in His name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv.